Good evening. Welcome back, everyone. We're going to get started, so please stand and let's sing together.
Christ.
Romans 5, verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The greatest demonstration of the Father's wonderful, marvelous, amazing love for us, his children, is the cross of Christ. And I love how the songwriter put it in this next song we're going to sing. Where your love, where Christ's love ran red, my sin is washed white. And so the appropriate response to that is what we're doing here. Worshiping, surrendering, saying this phrase, I surrender my life, I stand in awe of you, and I owe it all to you. So let's sing this together. At the cross, where love ran.
There's a place. Our Father, we are amazed at your love shown at the cross. Thank you that by the offering of your Son, you have made us who were once your enemies, your sons and daughters. Thank you that as we have sung so beautifully pictured in the poet's words, that his love ran red as he shed his blood on our behalf, and through his death, our sins are washed white. That we stand before you, those who have come to you through your Son, as if we had never sinned because he paid it all. Lord, we thank you for the great truth of the gospel. We thank you that not only do we have forgiveness, but we have his righteousness. Lord, you see us as if we had lived his perfect life. We thank you and praise you for the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, tonight we get a chance to celebrate that gospel in the lives of those whom you have redeemed. I pray that you would encourage our hearts through the testimonies we hear. Lord, I pray that you would grant grace and courage to those who share, that they would be able to share what's in their hearts, what you have done for them. Lord, we offer this service with the testimonies, the music, Lord, everything. We offer it as a sacrifice of praise to you, our saving, redeeming God. We thank you that you are by nature a Savior, that you delight to rescue, and you have rescued us. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, we welcome you back this evening. Trust you have had a good afternoon. It's such a wonderful occasion. Let me say welcome if you're our guest, especially. We're glad you've come. Maybe you came knowing that it was a baptism service because you've come to support someone who's going to be sharing their testimony tonight. Thank you for doing that. I know that means a lot to them. Perhaps you, in God's providence, came expecting one of our normal Sunday evening services where we sing and then we open the Word of God together. You are in for a real encouragement tonight as you hear the testimonies of those who've come to faith in Christ. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Let me make sure before we begin our time of baptism that we all understand what is and isn't happening in this baptistry. It's so important to understand that a person is made right with God by repenting of their sins and believing in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No water is involved in that. It is a decision that is in the heart. It is an act of God whereby he changes the heart, gives a person faith and repentance, and they respond to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving faith. The New Testament is filled with gospel promises. Just recently, I came across this one in John chapter 5. It is an amazing promise Christ makes. In verse 24 of John 5, he says this, "Truly, truly," literally in the Greek, "amen, amen." What I'm telling you, you can count on. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." That's a spiritual reality. The moment someone repents of their sins and believes in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of which we have just sung, then they are changed by a work of the Holy Spirit. The person they used to be died, and they become a new creation in Christ, and they are forgiven of their sins. And notice how Christ puts it, he who believes has eternal life. Not will have, not after death will experience, but as a present reality has eternal life. Life from above, the very life of God that never ever changes. And then he says this, and does not come into judgment. Once a person repents and believes in Christ, judgment for their sins is done. Why? Because their sins have already been judged on the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. For all who would believe, God treated Jesus on the cross as if he had lived their sinful lives. He credited to Jesus' account their sins, and on the cross treated Jesus as if he had committed those sins. So the debt was paid in full, and he died the death that we deserve to die so that God could be just and still forgive us. The debt was paid, and so therefore Jesus says he does not come into judgment. No judgment for sin for that person, but rather He has passed out of death into life, out of spiritual death into spiritual life. That's the reality of those who will share their testimony tonight. That's already happened. They've already repented. They've already believed. And so baptism is just a visible sign of that inward spiritual reality. It's a picture. I was reminding them as I was back preparing them for this night that when I put them under the water, it's a way to say the person they used to be before Christ died. That person's dead and buried, just like I put them under the water. And by trusting in Christ, just as Christ was raised to new life in the resurrection, those who believe have been raised to new spiritual life in Christ. That's the beauty of this image. So it's a picture, it's a sign of the spiritual reality that's already happened in their lives. It's a beautiful thing. I know you will enjoy their testimonies as they share them. You pray for them as they come now to share with us.
Hi, my name is Allie Anderson, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian family with parents who were faithful to teach me the gospel and the truths of the scripture. I would attend church every Sunday simply because I didn't have a choice, and I would get to see my friends. I would pay attention in lessons during Sunday school, but only so I could look good, and then go home and be unkind, selfish, and disrespectful to my parents. Everything I heard at church would go in one ear and out the other. I had a high view of myself and thought that I wasn't that bad compared to others. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he has become guilty of all." I was guilty of every sin and destined for eternal separation from God and hell. I had no desire to do anything for God's glory. Everything I did was for myself. My fear of man was much bigger than my fear of God. Romans 12:8a says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh." I was a wicked sinner who was enslaved to my flesh. Through God's grace, I was saved sometime during the first half of my sixth grade year, which was during COVID. Every night when I was trying to fall asleep, all I could think about was death and how much it scared me. I knew that Christians had peace in death and looked forward to being in the presence of their Savior, and I didn't have that. During the next couple of weeks, I was trying to deceive myself into believing that I was saved. That Good Friday, my family was getting ready to do communion together, so my dad called me up to his room and asked if I was going to take it. I didn't know what to say. Deep down, I knew I wasn't saved, but I didn't want to admit it. He then asked me to explain the gospel. I had been taught the gospel my entire life, but I couldn't tell him what it was. I didn't take communion that Good Friday. I thought about that moment constantly for the next few days. Then one night, the Holy Spirit softened my heart and made me realize I was relying on my parents' salvation and the fact that I would go to church every Sunday and that I didn't feel like I was that bad of a person or that I thought I would just get saved when I was older. Titus 3:5 says, "He saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit." I was relying on my works for salvation instead of God's mercy through Christ's sacrifice on the cross. I then repented from my sins and put my hope and trust in Christ. Since the Lord saved me, my desires have changed. I'm no longer living for myself, but for Christ and his glory. The Holy Spirit has given me a love for him and his word, and a desire to know him more and serve him. Like the psalmist says in Psalm 42:1, "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul pants for you, O God." Although I'm nowhere near to being perfect, and I will never reach perfection in this life, and I still need to repent of my sins daily, I praise God for his mercy and forgiveness, through which I am a new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed. Behold, the new have come." Because of God's goodness and compassion he has for me, I am a new creation. I now have a love for God's word and even delight in it. As the psalmist says in Psalm 1:2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and he meditates day and night." I don't meditate on scripture day and night, but I do find joy and delight in reading the Bible and getting to know more about my Creator and Savior and how I can live in a way that brings honor and glory to him. I look forward to Pastor Tom's messages every Sunday and wonder if he's going to go over, instead of wondering if he's going to go over time again. I make it a priority to spend time with God in prayer and in my daily Bible study. I try to listen and be discipled by more mature believers and to surround myself with like-minded people who will spur me on in my walk with Christ. I'm so thankful for the gift of salvation that I've received through Christ. I want to honor and obey him today, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Allie, we rejoice in God's work in your life, that he put you in a Christian home, that he exposed you to the truth, and that he opened your heart to believe. Because you no longer trust in works that you have done, but in his mercy given to you through Christ. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Hudson Hardiman, and this is my testimony. Before salvation, my life was as Ephesians 1 through 3 describes, and you were dead in your sins, and which you have formerly walked, according to the course of the world and according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, and among them who we too all previously lived in the lusts of our flesh, indulging in the desires of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature all children of wrath, and just as the rest. I was brought up going to Countryside, therefore I was taught the gospel from a young age by our pastors and our teachers, and as well as my family. I knew the truths of the gospel my whole life and wanted desperately to respond to it, but my love for my sin held me back. My life was characterized by many sins. James 1:19 says, everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. When I look back on my life before Christ, I can see that I was often the complete opposite of what this verse teaches. I was quick to become angry. Whenever things did not go my way, I was disappointed, overlooked, criticized, or denied of something I wanted. My immediate response was often frustration and anger. Instead of listening patiently to others, I was quick to react. Instead of carefully considering my word, I often spoke out of my emotions. My anger frequently revealed a heart that wanted its own way and struggled to submit to God's will. John 3:19 says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. Sometime later during my high school years, I made a profession of faith, but it was an empty profession of faith. I came to comprehend this when I began attending the Roots Ministry. I began to see how true Christians lived. John 15:12 says, this is my commandment, that you love one another just as I loved you. By seeing how they loved and cared for one another, I realized I did not love others like God had called us to. Also, believers are called to be a part of the church. Hebrews 10:24-25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembly together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another all the more as you see the day drawing near. With the realization that I had no love for others, I came to realize I had no desire to be a part of God's church. As I came to understand the seriousness of my sin, I also came to understand the greatness of God's love. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his love towards us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Even though I had lived in rebellion against God and deserved his judgment, God showed his love and mercy towards me by sending Jesus Christ to die for my sins. When I understood these truths, I responded to them in the way Mark 1:15 describes. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the gospel. God's graciously opened my eyes to see my sins and my inability to save myself. I realized that no amount of good work could make me the right with God. Now I read scripture with a desire to grow, and I pray with purpose of growing in my relationship with God. I strive to put myself in a place where I can learn from Christ and grow in who he is. I no longer want to forsake the assembly as I did before. Instead, I have a desire to serve and to fellowship with other believers. Because Christ sacrificed himself, I can stand here today as a child of God. Now I want to obey the commandment of our Lord, Matthew 28:19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That is why I'm here today.
Well, Hudson, we are so grateful that the Lord really opened your eyes to the essence of sin. You know, we are most of all, the great commandment is to love God with all of our heart and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And It is our failure to do those things that really illustrates our sin at the deepest level. Because the Lord has opened your eyes to your own sin. But more than that, he's opened your eyes to the truth of the gospel. And the words you use from Mark 1, because you have repented of your sins and you believe the gospel, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, Countryside family. My name is Alex Munoz, and this is my testimony. From childhood, I learned that life is fragile. At a really young age, I battled leukemia for over 3 years, and even then, by God's mercy, he preserved my life. As I grew older, I realized that a far greater battle I would face was not physical sickness, but the battle with my own sin. I grew up in a non-religious home. I have a few vague memories of attending church as a young child, but never consistently. I didn't understand anything about Christ or the gospel. I didn't know what I needed to be saved from, and most importantly, I didn't know who I needed to be saved by. As I got older, I became more influenced by the world around me. By middle school and high school, my life was marked by substance abuse, pride, selfishness, and a growing disregard for God. Even though my parents later became believers during my freshman year of high school, I would attend church with them only at times, and only because they asked me to, not because I wanted to. Sin was controlling my life and destroying every direction I attempted to go. Proverbs 14:12 says, "There's a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way to death." At 18, an incident involving drugs nearly ended my life. I awoke disoriented in an ambulance with no memory of what had happened, with a medic explaining how close I came to death. Terrified and filled with guilt, I returned to my parents' church, mistaking those emotions for a true call to repentance and faith. I was baptized during that time, but without understanding the gospel, my sin, or genuine repentance, nothing changed in my heart. Shortly after that baptism, I returned to my old lifestyle. I met my wife at that same church. After we graduated from high school, we grew closer and eventually started dating. A year later, she became pregnant, and that was the moment I knew I needed to take responsibility. We got married, and shortly after, our daughter was born. 2 years later, God blessed us with our son, and 6 years after that, with our youngest daughter. Outwardly, I became more responsible. I worked hard, provided for my family, and found success in my career. But inwardly, my heart was still unchanged. I used responsibility and accomplishment to justify my sin. The same sinful patterns kept creeping back into my life and into our home, bringing instability and pain to my marriage and family for many years. There were times my sin nearly destroyed our marriage, yet God did not allow our family to fall apart. About 5 years ago, everything in my life felt like it was collapsing. The consequences of my sin and my choices brought me to a place of complete desperation. For the first time in my life, I realized I was completely powerless. I had no control over my sin. My sin controlled me. Jesus says in John 8:34, "Everyone who commits sin is the slave of sin." I knew I couldn't fix myself. And in that moment of despair, I cried out to God and begged him to change me and to free me from the sin that had controlled me for so long. It was a confession that I was completely guilty, completely lost, and completely powerless to save or change myself. Then God opened my eyes. God allowed me to see that spiritually, I was completely lost. I finally saw how my sin harmed my family and dishonored the God I had ignored my whole life. That realization broke me. For days, I wept over my sin, not just because of the consequences, but because for the first time ever, I understood that my sin was a personal rebellion against the holy God. Like David says in Psalm 51:4, "Against you, you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight." All of a sudden, everything that I had heard about regeneration made sense. I did not need self-improvement. I needed to be born again. John 3:3 says, "Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." I needed God to give me a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh." And that is exactly what he did. In that moment of desperation and confession, God removed my heart of stone and gave me a heart of flesh. My desires changed. The sins I once loved, I now hated. The God I ignored, I now wanted to follow. That was the moment Christ saved me, when he brought me from spiritual death to life. Ephesians 2:4 to 5 says, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ." After God saved me, everything changed. My desires, habits, and priorities changed. I no longer tolerated sin in my life. God gave me a hunger for his word and a desire to pursue holiness. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come." I began to lead my family instead of harming them through my choices. God has allowed me to grow as a husband and as a father to our three children. God continues to sanctify me every day. He is continually shaping me, exposing areas where I need to grow, and conforming me more into the image of Christ. I cultivate my walk with God by being disciplined in reading his word, praying regularly, walking in fellowship with other believers, and applying what he teaches me to my life, my marriage, and my family. My younger brother invited us to countryside around 3.5 years ago. And from the very beginning, we were deeply moved by the clarity and the exposition of God's word. This church has become home for our family. We have felt loved, cared for, and spiritually fed here. We began attending Sunday classes and joined a home fellowship where we have built meaningful relationships that have helped us grow. Hebrews 10:24 to 25 says, "And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, but encouraging one another." We are truly grateful for Pastor Tom's teaching, for the people God has placed in our lives here, and for the way he has used Countryside to strengthen our family and help us grow in Christ. And in obedience to Christ's ordinance, I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Alex, thank you for sharing your heart with us. I'm so grateful that you now know what you need to be saved from, the power and the guilt of your sin. And now you know personally the one who can save you, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because you are repentant of your sins and put your faith in him, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Karina Munoz. About 5 years ago, I hit rock bottom in my life. My marriage was falling apart, and our home was filled with constant fighting, hurt, and poor communications. I felt like I was always walking on eggshells. My husband and I both made sinful choices that deeply hurted our marriage. and my family. At the time, we were living at my parents' while our house was being renovated, which added even more stress and tensions to our lives. Instead of dealing with our problems in a healthy way, we tried to escape them. Every weekend often revolved around drinking and trying to numb the pain, but it only led to more arguments and more brokenness, sometimes even in front of our children. I was exhausted emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. Deep inside, I felt empty, hopeless, and lost. No matter what I tried, I could not find peace. There came a point where I completely broke down. I remember crying all night and falling to my knees before God. I was tired of living the way I was living. I felt lost, lonely, and overwhelmed. I did not know how to fix my marriage, myself, or my life anymore. The thought of my children growing up in a broken family deeply grieved me. During that season, Psalms 38:18 became true in my life. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. As I spent many nights praying and crying out to God, I began to realize that nothing in the world could fill the emptiness in my heart. Drinking, distractions, and trying to handle everything on my own left me feeling more hopeless. Looking back now, I realized there was an empty in my heart that only God could fill. Jesus' words in John 3:35 speaks to that reality. I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. One day after praying, I felt strongly that my family needed to return to church. I decided that even if my husband did not want to go, I needed to go for myself and for my children. When I spoke to him about it, he agreed to come, and later I learned that he was struggling deeply as well. Through attending church and hearing God's word faithfully taught, I came to understand the gospel more clearly. I learned that Jesus Christ died for my sins, rose from the dead, and offers forgiveness and new life to those who trust in him. Romans 5:8 spoke powerfully to me, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. As I continued to hear God's word, I realized that I could not save myself or change my life on my own. I understood that I needed to repent of my sins, surrender my life to Christ, and place my trust in him alone for salvation. God opened my eyes to the truth of 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in Christ is a new creature, the old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Through Christ, I found the forgiveness, hope, peace, and new life that I had been searching for all along. Since coming to Christ, I've been changing little by little. My faith has given me peace, hope, and strength during difficult times. While I am not perfect, I still have much to learn. God continues to work in my heart and life. I now have a desire to honor him in my marriage, my family, and my daily walk. Through his grace, I've learned to trust him more, seek his will, and rely on his strength rather than my own. Philippians 1:6 has been a great encouragement to me, for I am confident for those very things, that he who began good works in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ. Today, I desire to be baptized as a public declaration of my faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, as an act of obedience to him. Baptism does not save me, but is a testimony of my new life that God has begun in me through Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Philippians 1:21. And this is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Karina, we rejoice with you that God has transformed your home and marriage, yours and Alex's, into a trophy of his grace. Because you have abandoned all hope in yourself, and you placed your hope and your trust solely in the Lord Jesus Christ, in his life, in his death, in his resurrection. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Haley Ragsdale, and this is my testimony. Before Christ, my life was characterized by selfishness, anger, deceit, and hatred. Titus 3:3 says, "For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy, hated by others and hated one another. I wanted to please everyone around me because I wanted everyone to like me. I was always mean to my siblings or bossing them around. I was so prideful, and I was always wanting everything to go my way. If it didn't, I would get upset, and I would be angry at someone or something. I never really read my Bible, and if I did, I didn't really think about it or understand it. I would never really actually pray. I would instead just close my eyes and think of whatever I wanted to think of. I had no desire to pray, but that's just what I was told to do. I grew up in a Christian home, and so whenever we would go to church, I wouldn't pay attention, but instead I would think about so many other things than what was being taught. I didn't believe in the gospel until a few years ago, in 2021, when I was 11 years old. I was at our youth group at Countryside, and Justin was teaching on forgiveness and how God forgives our sins if we come to him through his Son, whom he sent to this earth to be born of a virgin and to live a perfect life and then to die upon a cross for our sins because we are sinners and because we disobey God and his word. Jesus was to be the substitute on my behalf. Jesus did this because God is perfect and we are not. Every person is born a sinner because of Adam and Eve's decision in the garden when they chose to disobey God. They were made in the image of God and they were perfect. God told them they could eat from any tree they wanted, except for the tree of good and evil. But sadly, they fell into temptation and ate of the tree in Genesis 3:6. God demands every person to be perfect, but only Christ is. Matthew 5:48 says, "Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." We are not perfect in any way. James 2:10 says, "For whoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become guilty of all of it." We are all guilty, and we all deserve death. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." But even though we all deserve death, God still loves us. He loved us so much that he gave his only Son to die for us, as 1 John 4:10 says, "In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." After I heard these things, it was clear to me that I was a sinner and I was in need of a Savior, and that there was nothing I could do to save myself. So that day, I repented of my sins and asked God to forgive me for all that I had done, and it's only because of the work of Christ and nothing that I did. I believe that Jesus is the perfect Son of God and that he died and rose again on the third day, and that he is alive today. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "And that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." Ever since I became a Christian, I've seen a massive transition and change in my life because I am a new creation, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." I have a greater desire to read God's word and to apply it to my life. I also have a desire to strive to be more like Christ by praying to him and to love my family and friends in a way that honors and glorifies God. I am so thankful to the Lord for giving me the Holy Spirit to help me be more like Christ by helping me understand his word and applying it to my life. I'm going to continue to live my life for Christ and honor him in everything I do. Galatians 2:20 says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me." The Bible says in Ephesians 4:1, "So walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called." I now strive to grow in my relationship with God every day by continually praying and by reading his word so that I can understand him and love him even more and ultimately walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which I have been called. Today I strive to love God and others and to continually repent of my sin that I still battle against in my flesh, and to remind myself of the amazing grace and character of Jesus Christ. And that's why I'm here to be baptized today.
Well, Haley, we rejoice with you that God surrounded you, both in your family and in this church, with people who pointed you to Christ. And because he opened your eyes to see Christ, because you have put your faith entirely in him, in his perfect life, in his substitutionary death, and in his resurrection, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Emmanuel, and I am grateful for the opportunity to share my testimony today. I was raised in the Catholic faith and learned about God, Jesus, and the teachings of the church from a very young age. Even though I participated in various religious activities growing up, I did so to escape being in an abusive home. My belief in God was superficial, and as I got older, I grew apart from him and lived in rebellion against God. As part of me, hated my own life. Later in life, I was surrounded by superstitious influences and diverse beliefs that led me astray from the Lord. As a result, I embraced worldly views, which in turn caused me to accept sin without questioning it. I relied primarily on my own abilities to understand and navigate the difficulties of life. This mindset led me to develop a strong sense of self-reliance based on my own logic and understanding. I lived a very mundane life without realizing how much I truly needed God's help. Before the Lord saved me, I was living in darkness and loneliness. I felt helpless. In John chapter 3, verses 19 through 20, Scripture says, "This is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed." My self-reliance did not prepare me for one of the most difficult experiences of my life. In October 2023, I was driving to a car dealership for an oil change when I randomly listened to a sermon by Billy Graham on YouTube about salvation that appeared in my video recommendations. The sermon caught my attention and caused me to begin reflecting on life. A week later, my mother suddenly passed away while on her way to see a doctor. I hadn't spoken with her before her passing, and receiving the phone call from my older brother devastated me. This experience caused me to question my entire life and everything that I believed. It was at that moment that I realized I was not living according to my own timeline. I was living according to God's timeline. The Lord had my full attention. I felt convicted of my sin and recognized my need for repentance. So I prayed to the Lord and asked for forgiveness of my sins. In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, Scripture says, "If you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved." A good friend of mine, who had been a member of Countryside Bible Church for many years, invited me to attend church with her and her husband. Through that invitation, I became acquainted with a fellowship of believers as a mature adult. By attending church and Sunday school regularly, I have come to understand the gospel more clearly and what it truly means to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In John chapter 17, verse 3, Scripture says, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." I have also come to understand that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins and rose again so that I could be forgiven and have eternal life. His death and resurrection mean everything to me because they remind me that salvation is not something I can earn through my own efforts. It is a gift of God's grace, available through faith in Jesus Christ. This is one of the most important truths that I have learned over the past year. Today, I seek to cultivate my walk with God through prayer, reading the Bible, attending church, and spending time with other believers. Prayer helps me communicate with God and depend on Him daily. Reading Scripture helps me learn more about His character, His promises, and how He wants me to live. Attending church regularly allows me to worship, grow in my faith, and receive encouragement from fellow Christians. I also strive to apply God's word to my daily life by trusting him, seeking his guidance, and growing in obedience to him. One verse that continually reminds me to depend on God is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Thank you for listening to my testimony. Today I'm here to publicly profess my faith in Jesus Christ, and that is why I'm here to be baptized.
Well, Emmanuel, we are so grateful for God's providence in your life. The Puritans used to talk about severe mercies. It sounds like the death of your mom was a severe mercy. It brought you to see yourself, to understand the gospel, ultimately to come in contact with the gospel. Because you have, in Paul's words, you have believed in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that he's everything he claimed to be. And because you have confessed him as your Lord, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Lauren Switzer, and this is my testimony. I was blessed to be born and raised in a Christian home, and growing up, I made sure that externally I looked as close to perfect as I could be. I made sure I knew all the answers in Sunday school and memorized all the verses for Awana. I listened to my parents when they told me to do something, and I stayed as far away from any kind of trouble as I could. But internally, I was completely different. I was a sinner through and through, just as it says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. I did all those things selfishly so that I would look better than those around me. I lived in fear of men and for the praise of them, even though Jesus says in Matthew 10:28, do not fear those who kill the body but are unable to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. When I was 8 years old, I remember thinking about if I died right then, I would not go to heaven because I had never truly repented of my sins and put my faith in Christ. So right then, I prayed a prayer, asking God if he would save me. At that point, I thought I was saved, and if you had asked me, I would have said so, but nothing in my life actually changed. I held on to that prayer as my hope for salvation instead of the saving work of Jesus Christ. I believed that the prayer I prayed was enough to save me. I lived in that lie that I was truly saved for 8 years. What I told myself and the way I lived were completely different. I thought that I was living for Christ when really I was living for myself and trying to look like whoever I was around wanted me to look. I'd been hearing for years not to let the word of the Lord go in one ear and out the other, but I hadn't cared because I loved my sin too much to see or want anything else. I was a living example of the description John gives in 1 John 2:4, which says, "The one who says, 'I have come to know him,' and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." During the summer of 2022, there was a point when I looked back over my life and saw no change in how I was living and how I was living before I was saved. Then this was the first time I was truly honest with myself. I remember hearing a sermon at youth group one Wednesday night that you can fool everyone around you, but you cannot fool God. And hearing that terrified me. The Lord was so gracious to me to open my eyes to the true state of my life. And it was at this point I realized how helpless I really was. It was then that I truly was saved of my sins, by repenting of them and placing my faith in the saving work of Jesus Christ alone, instead of anything I had done. It was just as Jesus says in John 5:24, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death into life." Since then, the Lord has continued to pour out his grace upon me in every aspect of my life. One of the biggest ways has been through the assurance of salvation he provides. For the first year after coming to true salvation, I was very hesitant about whether I was truly saved or not, since I'd spent so long lying to myself about my spiritual situation. Yet God was so patient with me and continued to provide ways for me to grow fruit that I could see in my life. This was most evident through a number of trials resulting in a period of my life being much different than what I had anticipated. And yet, looking back on it now, I can see how the Lord was growing and pruning me to become more like him. That's something I'm more thankful for every day. James 1, 2, and 3 says, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance." And while I did not respond perfectly, I could see the work of the Holy Spirit in my heart through those trials, which filled me with joy and assured me of my salvation. Because of the saving work of Christ in my life, prayer has become more of a first response to anything happening around me, instead of thinking selfishly and reacting by complaining or thinking that I did something well. I also study the Bible. Instead of just reading it to be able to say that I read it, if someone asked, I find joy in my time in God's Word. I long to spend more time in it. It's no longer a chore to read, but a delight. I long to live as Paul implores us in Ephesians 4:1, which says to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. And I strive to live my life in a way that glorifies my Savior and reflects to the world that I have been born again. So I am here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Lauren, we are so grateful that the Lord brought you to see that your early profession of faith was not genuine, and that he brought you to see that your hope is not in a prayer. Your hope is in a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because you have repented of your sins and put your hope entirely in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jerry Osteen, and I'm grateful for the opportunity to share what Christ has done in my life. Before I was saved, my life was engulfed in sin. I did not give much thought to having a true relationship with Christ or thank him for the many blessings in my life. The truth is, I only sought him when things were not going well. I was self-centered, sinful in my thoughts and actions, and focused on everything except strengthening my faith in Christ. I was living for myself and did not realize that I was spiritually dead. Looking back, now I understand what Paul meant in Ephesians 2:1 when he wrote, "And you were dead in the trespasses and the sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world." As my children grew up and left for college, I found myself spending more time alone in quiet reflection. As I got older, I began to realize that something was missing from my life. The more I thought about it, the more I understood what was missing was a relationship with Jesus Christ. I believe God was showing me the truth in Ecclesiastes 3:11 that he has put eternity into a man's heart. There was an emptiness in my life that only Christ could fill. God used my youngest son to draw me to himself. During my son's second year of college, he went through a difficult breakup. Instead of turning to things in this world, he turned to Christ. I watched him grow deeper in his faith, and I saw God changing him. Then he was baptized. Watching his baptism and witnessing the transformation in his life caused me to realize how deeply I needed Christ's presence in my own life. God used my son to sharpen and encourage me, just as Proverbs 27:17 says, "Iron sharpens iron, and one man sharpens another." After that, my wife bought me a Bible. I began reading it every day. Later, my son gave me a MacArthur Study Bible, and I started studying God's Word daily. Through reading and studying Scripture, God opened my eyes to the seriousness of my sin and my need for salvation. Hebrews 4:12 says that the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of the soul and spirit and joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. God's word pierced my heart and revealed my need for him. I realized that I deserve God's condemnation because of my sin, but I came to understand the truth of Romans 3:23, that all have sinned and fall short of God's glory and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through his word, I came to understand the incredible grace and mercy available through Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:8-9 say, "For by the grace you have been saved through faith, and that is not your own doing. This is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. I realized that salvation was not something I could earn. It was a gift of God's grace through the faith in Jesus Christ. Since repenting of my sin and placing my faith in Christ, my life has changed. I now lean on God for just about everything. He has given me peace that I have never had before and confidence about where I will spend eternity. I am much more aware of my sin and my need for forgiveness. I find myself regularly confessing my faith in Jesus Christ and thanking Him for the blessings that I do not deserve. I have experienced the promise of Philippians 4:7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Today, God directs my life. Jesus Christ is my Lord, Savior, and my salvation. I know that no matter what storms come, God will carry me through them. I am grateful for His grace, His mercy, and the sacrifice that Jesus made on my behalf. I want to be baptized today because I want to be obedient to Christ. Jesus commanded His followers in Matthew 28:19, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I want to publicly confess my faith in Him and identify myself with His death, burial, and resurrection. As Romans 6:4 teaches, we are buried therefore with Him by baptism into death, in order that Jesus, as Christ, was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. So that is why I am here to be baptized.
Well, Jerry, thank you. Thank you for sharing your testimony, your heart with us, because you have abandoned your hope in yourself, because you've come to understand that Christ is the only way, because God's word has pierced your heart, as you described it, and at the same time, open your heart to realize that you can be right with God solely as a gift by His grace. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Stephanie Osteen, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a Christian home. We went to church and Sunday school every week, and we prayed together most every day. I was baptized as an infant and later confirmed. I do not remember a time when I did not know and believe that Jesus is the Son of God who died for sins and rose again for salvation. Yet despite that foundation, I lived apart from God. I became focused on my own desires and wanted to live life on my own terms rather than His. I grew to think that I did not need God, His grace, or His forgiveness. The emptiness I felt because of that separateness led me down a destructive path. By my late teens, alcohol and drugs had become a part of my daily life. My freshman year of college, I declared myself agnostic. By age 20, I found myself in crisis and eventually in rehab. Like Isaiah 53:6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. I had wandered far from God, and my sin had separated me from him. It was there in rehab, completely broken and hopeless, that I realized there was a deep spiritual hole in my soul that I could not fill. I came to understand that only God could restore me, and I repented of my sins and turned my life over to Christ. By God's grace, I was born again. Just as 1 John 1:9 promises, I confessed my sins, and God was faithful and just to forgive them and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. But His work in me was not finished. Although my life improved, there remained a spiritual disconnect that I could never quite explain. I knew there was still more that God wanted for me. Looking back now, I can see the truth of Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. God had rescued me, but He was not finished yet. During the chaos and uncertainty of the COVID pandemic, God got my attention. I was suddenly overcome with an overwhelming desire to understand the foundations of my faith, authentic Christianity, and what it truly means to follow Christ. I now believe that God placed that longing in my heart and that hunger for truth in my soul to draw me closer to Himself. After more than 23 years in my church, I began praying for God to lead me where He wanted me to be. It was a difficult prayer for me because I deeply love my parents who raised me in their faith, and I was very close to them. I did not want them to feel betrayed, but I continued seeking God's direction. A few years later, God answered my prayers through His work in my youngest son, Gavin. Gavin had heard about Countryside from his pastor in Florida, and we visited together last June when he was home from college. God used my son to help strengthen my faith and lead me where I needed to be. Jesus said in John 6:44, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him." Looking back, I now see that God was drawing me to Himself all along. Since then, God continues to bless my life in abundance. Through prayer, worship, and the study of His Word, He has drawn me closer to Himself than ever before. Sunday worship has become the most important time of my week, and every day I ask God to help me be more like Jesus. I am still a sinner, and I still struggle daily, but my attitude towards sin has changed. I no longer have an interest in the things that once controlled my life. I no longer have that empty hole in my soul. I no longer feel disconnected from God. As 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Most importantly, I have come to understand that I cannot enter God's kingdom on my own. Ephesians 2:8 through 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is a gift of God. Only through Jesus' perfect life, sacrificial death, and resurrection can I be saved and have eternal life with Him." Today I know my story is not ultimately about my searching for God. It is about God's relentless love and faithfulness in pursuing me. Luke 15:4 to 7 has become one of my favorite passages because I see my own story in it. Jesus describes a shepherd who leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the one that is lost until he finds it. For many years I wandered, thinking I could live life on my own terms, but God never stopped pursuing me. Through my family, through recovery, through my son, and through His word, He kept calling me back to Himself. He never gave up on me. I was that lost sheep, and the good shepherd never stopped looking for me. I want to be baptized today because I love Jesus Christ and I want to obey Him. Jesus commanded His followers to be baptized. Baptism does not save me, but it is my public declaration that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And so in the words of Acts 22:16, "And now why do you wait? Rise and be baptized." And that is why I'm here tonight.
Well, Stephanie, we are so grateful again for God's grace in your life, that He helped you to see that the faith you grew up with had not yet become your own. And because He, as you put it so beautifully from Christ's words, because He drew you to Himself through the gospel, because He sought you out and made you one of His true sheep, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Brothers and sisters, my name is Abigail Weidinger, and this is my testimony. I grew up in a loving home with two Christian parents who did their best to raise me to love and follow the Lord. This was difficult to do without the support of the local church. However, I grew up faithfully memorizing scripture and learning of the faithfulness of the Lord, but only to earn the prizes of small coins and candy. I had no understanding of the gospel. I lived in sin, doing what I wanted, and thinking that because I marked up my Bible, I was right with God. But as Matthew 12:30 says, "The one who is not with me is against me." I considered myself to be a very good person. I never got in trouble, and I did and said all of the right things. But Romans 3:10 through 12 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. This verse truly described me, for I thought I understood what I needed to do to be right with God. I remember praying the sinner's prayer many times, yet having no true repentance or understanding of who Christ is and what he did for me. Believing that an outward act could give me assurance, I was baptized at 12 years old, though my heart remained unchanged. Instead of displaying fruits of salvation and evidence of the Holy Spirit, what came was a pattern of years of pride and anger. Through a series of difficult events in my teenage years, I developed a heart of complete bitterness. I took my anger out on everyone around me. I thought that I knew everything, and I looked down on anyone who was struggling or not living how I thought they should. But behind the scenes, I was going down a dark path and feeding my flesh more every day. I was a true Pharisee. I don't know the exact moment of my salvation, but I do know it was towards the end of my teenage years. Looking back, I see that I understood for the first time that Christianity was not about trying harder or being a good person, but about trusting completely in the finished work of Christ. I realized there was nothing I could do to earn God's favor. Jesus Christ lived the perfect life that I could never live, died under the wrath of God that I deserved, and rose again so that all who repent and believe in him are forgiven and declared righteous before God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him." The Lord revealed that to me by illuminating my eyes to the word of God, the influence and the teaching of a faithful Bible teaching church that I was now attending with my family, and the encouragement of Christian friends. Although I believed that I was saved at that point, I did not yet know how to live a Christian life, and so struggled with patterns of sins and subsequently assurance of salvation for several years. When I worked for a summer camp after high school, I, for the first time, experienced biblical community. I learned how to study the word, how to pray, how to equip, encourage, and stimulate others to love and good deeds. I learned what it meant to live as a Christian and to walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Directly after coming home that summer, my family and I moved to DFW and began attending Countryside. I'm so grateful for the Lord's incredible timing and provision in leading me here. My life is completely different from what it once was, and being here, mentored by faithful women, sitting under the teaching of God's word, and walking in communion with other godly men and women, has continually shown me the Lord's sanctifying work. Though I am not perfect and strive for holiness daily, I can see how the patterns of anger and bitterness have turned into patterns of seeking opportunities to glorify the Lord and represent him well. Instead of turning to worldly things for pleasure and comfort, I am joyful to turn to God and his word, as it promises in 2 Peter 1:3, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness, through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence. Although day by day, striving for holiness and experiencing sanctification can be difficult, I echo Paul in Philippians 3:8, where he says, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, count them for rubbish, so that I may gain Christ." I yearn for the day where I meet my Lord face to face, whether that be when he returns or when he calls me home, but for now, I seek to live for his glory and thankfulness for what he has done. I pray that my life is a testament of his goodness and faithfulness, and that through me, others may come to know him. That is why I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Abigail, we are grateful that the Lord brought you to see that you couldn't be made right with him through your own efforts, but instead you needed to trust fully and completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ, because he, his life, death, and resurrection are your hope. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, that's wonderful. You have heard the gospel presented 10 different ways, and you've seen the effect of the gospel in the lives of God's people. Let's pray together as we finish our time. Our Father, we are so grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you that we who once were dead in our trespasses and sins, by your grace, you have made us alive. You've given us life. Lord, we thank you that in that life you have given us
the understanding of sin and the desire to repent of sin. You've given us the longing to put our trust solely and completely in the finished work of Jesus Christ. You've changed us from the inside out. We are new creations in Christ. And Lord, we thank you for that great reality. Thank you for each of these who've shared their lives and their testimonies with us tonight. Lord, we pray that you would continue the work you have begun in them until the day of Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Allie and Hudson, for Alex and Karina, for Haley, for Emmanuel, for Lauren, for Jerry and Stephanie, and for Abigail. Father, I pray in each of their lives, you would continue that work, and then one day you would present them faultless in your presence with exceeding joy. Lord, in this life, relentlessly continue the work of making them day by day more like Jesus Christ, their Lord. Lord, we pray that for each of us who know and love him. And Lord, we pray for those here tonight who perhaps have never come to bow the knee to you and to your Son. Lord, help them to have heard their own story resonated in the testimonies tonight. Lord, may they see that there's no hope in themselves, that if they commit sin, they're the slaves of sin, and there's only one person who can free them, Jesus Christ. And Lord, may tonight, before their head hits the pillow, may they cry out in repentance and faith, asking you to do in their lives what you have done in these who've shared their stories with us tonight. Lord, may you do that because of your grace and because your Son deserves the reward of his suffering. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
We're going to close with a hymn that is fitting for us to sing, "In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found." Would you please stand as we sing?
The wrath of God was satisfied.
reminder, you are all invited to the courtyard for a time of fellowship and ice cream. Enjoy the evening.